Hey, everybody, it's me, Cynthia Garrett, and welcome back to The Sessions. And if you were with us last week, then you know that we began a really great conversation about everything, parenting and being a teenager in the world today and what it's like navigating all of that, but trying to navigate it successfully. Because at the end of the day, that's what we all want to do. So whether you're a parent or not a parent really doesn't matter, because I know that you're probably someone who's going through a lot of these things with a young person that you love. And if you're a young person and you're under the age of 21, you definitely need to be watching this episode, because my good friend, Darren Wilson, is here with my goddaughter, Serenity Wilson, and we are having an incredible conversation. And like I said, we want to take you along for another week on this journey. Christina Reynolds is on piano, and Christina and Darren and Serenity, we ended last week speaking about how you respect your parents' rules when you don't agree with the rules.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a that was a big one. I mean, I want to hear kind of what you have to say about that.
Yeah. Well, for sure, like, the biggest thing for me is, like, especially just in my church and what, like, youth has really taught me is, like, honoring your parents is the biggest deal. You know, it's the one command in the Bible that is linked with a promise. Mm-hmm. And honor your parents, you know what I mean?
Honor your father and mother so that all will go well with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge. And, like, the blessings that you'll see from going against, like, your selfishness and your worldly desires and just wanting to do what you want to do and thinking that we know best and we don't know best, you know what I mean? And I've had to learn so many lessons that were so unnecessary and that I could have avoided if I had just listened to my parents.
Yeah.
And honored them, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, Christina, I'm curious to know, are Nikki and Josh pushing back yet?
No, not really. Well, I feel like my son, because he's starting to develop a lot more because he's 8 and he's so mature for his age, he asks a lot of questions. He's always like, why? Mm-hmm. But why? But why? But I don't understand. But why? And
I like it. Little sister, but that's the beginning of the journey.
But the cool thing is that when we explain to him, you need to eat your vegetables because you need to eat this because, or, you know, it's small things for now, or we really don't want you hanging out with that kid. Or if you do, like, be a leader. You know, I like that we're opening up conversation, but it freaks me out. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated you sharing your experience with Jesus, because it makes me feel a little bit more at ease.
Well, yeah. That's what you shared last week, that Jesus had to literally show up and basically tell you, give Serenity to me, I've got her.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
and he has proven over and over and over again, and we have some really funny stories to prove it.
Yeah, tell us some of the pushing of the boundary stories.
Well, you can tell the one real quick, and I can tell mine.
So, well, for my 17th birthday party, he was out of town. My mom was at the house.
Oh, this is recent.
This is great.
We got the whole gam. We got lots to choose from.
Okay.
Recent lessons have been learned. But so I was like, oh my gosh, well, I could have a big, like, birthday party. And so many of my friends had parties with, like, alcohol and drinking, and, like, cops had never shown up to any of the parties. So I was like, well, like, it won't be an issue. And, like, my mom was there, so I was like, everyone just leave everything in your cars. You can drink before, but, like, not there. And, like it'll be fine. And I felt so smart. I was like, I got it covered.
She's fooled the system.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was just on top of the world. And everyone was talking about it. It was so exciting. And it went very badly.
Of course it did.
If this is leading up to anything, it is that. Mm. But it was literally, like, 20 minutes in, and the cops were there. And it wasn't even for, like illegal reasons. It was one of my friends, when they parked, they, like, went and walked up to a house under construction, and, like, our nice neighbors called the police, and the police showed up, and, I mean, it was so traumatic.
It was, like, 20 minutes
into the party, and we spent 3 hours. They made everyone go to their car, breathalyzing kids who weren't even, like, drinking, and it was the biggest mess ever.
The injustice of it all.
Can you believe
God would allow this to happen?
How dare
I literally can't get away with anything. I planned so much. I thought I, like, had everything covered. Anyone else could have thrown this party except me, and it would have worked out. Like,
yes.
But, like, thank God, obviously, it didn't work out, because it was...
So were you terrified? Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. My parents are going to find out. This is a nightmare.
Well, I mean, he kind of knew, he didn't know the full of what was going on.
Right.
He was out of town, I think, like, speaking or something. Yeah. But, yeah. No, I honestly, like, I wasn't scared that they were going to find out. I was, like, I just wanted to confide in them and run to them and, like, comfort me, Mom. Like, this is so scary. Because, like, I mean, they were probably just as scared as I was, you know, like, for me. And, like, there's those things, like, when your kid, like, is in, like, an extreme situation, you're not mad, you know what I mean? And kids don't realize that, you know what I mean? A lot of times, like, if they get themselves into a bad situation, they're scared to call their parents because, like, oh, my gosh, like, they're going to be so disappointed that I ended up here and my decisions that led up to this. But, like, they care about your well-being and survival. And, like, me being in bad situations and calling on my parents and them just, like, not even caring what led up to that and just running to my rescue. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with the father. You know what I mean? It's just like, whatever has led up to this, it is forgiven. It is wiped clean. I am here for you now in this moment.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what we need to understand.
Well, in understanding it, are you kind of on the side of the line that says, I won't be doing that again?
Yeah, I mean, I've learned.
Or
should we be prepared for the 18th?
Depends on if depends on if I agree with it or not.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, yeah, I haven't been doing those things for a while now, and it's been
good girl.
And it actually happened after I opened up and shared with him everything that had been going on, and through that confession, it's kind of led to just not partaking in it.
Well,
There's something in confession.
Yeah, there's something in confession. Right. It's the asking of forgiveness.
Yeah.
I think it allows God to really go to work, you know? I mean, it's interesting. Do you feel that your sort of confession of things is in some way spiritually important to you also being safe in these things and being able to go forward and, you know, just with your life, because you have a safety zone in your home with your parents. You're able to talk to them.
Yeah, well, when I told him the things I was doing, it kind of set up like a protection for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it held it's that accountability level. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just confess something and then just expect to keep doing it and there's no issue. You know what I mean? Like, you have to take in a realization, and especially like with parents, like, they obviously don't want you like doing those things, like drinking and like hanging out with kids that you shouldn't be with, you know, that's not safe, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not wholesome.
Yeah.
You're not going to grow in that environment.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, and I think one of the more underrated aspects of parenting is becoming a safe place for your kids. Because, honestly, I mean, I have a lot of friends, and they struggle with their kids, and they just won't. Like, I find out the stuff, and, you know, I'm like, well, I don't think you're a super safe place. Right. Because they know, like, if they tell you, you're going to blow a gasket, you're going to explode, you're going to, like, you know, it's going to be very, very painful for them. As opposed to, like when she came to me this time with, like, kind of laid it all out, and I was like, this is what, you know, when your daughter's like, so I've been sober for 7 days, and I'm like, let's talk
about... When were
about
you drinking?
What's going on? Right. You know, and I'm like, what in the world? But then she kind of lays out, and she's just like kind of spilling out her heart to me, you know, and I'm just like, it becomes less of a how dare... It's not a how dare you. It's more of a, okay, one, thank you for telling me this.
Right.
And two, I forgive you, and I love you.
Yeah.
Three, how can we move forward? How can I help you? Because that was one of our big conversations at that moment was, look, you're almost an adult. Like I'm not going to tell you that you can't go out with your friends. It's just not realistic.
She would sneak.
So you're going to sneak. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so how can I help you go out with your friends? How can I help you? Like, let's talk before you go out. What are you going to do? How are you going to deal with it when your friends start drinking?
Yeah.
How are you going to deal with it when they pull out their little jewel, whatever they're called, pen, whatever the, I don't know, vape. They start vaping stuff.
Right.
You know?
Pretty accurate. Yeah.
Like, how are you going to deal with that? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And then if you get into a place, you call, you text me. Right. If you're just like feeling uncomfortable. She can still hang out with people. But she's also entering it in more of a light situation. Yeah. Like she's becoming a light. Like, how can you help your friends?
Right.
As opposed to just be there and like.
Well, look, we know we're in the world, but we're not of the world.
Exactly.
Right? So what you're doing, and this is the biggest takeaway you need to have from this lesson from this session is that you need to create a safe space for your teenager to come and talk to you. Because if not, they won't talk to you. If they're not talking to you, they're probably talking to their peers who are probably really stupid. Yeah. Like, they need more than their peers.
Sarin, you said that that's one of the things that saddens you the most about your friends.
Oh, yeah. No, it breaks my heart. Because I see, like, these girls that I'm really close with, they're just the sweetest. Like, and I, like, get super emotional because I adore them.
Yeah.
But I have been so blessed. So lucky with parents who I can be open with and I'm not scared of them. Yeah. And so many of my friends are absolutely terrified of their parents for good reason. Yeah. You know what I mean? And a lot of them like aren't in Christian homes. And it's just so hard. Like they have to come to me for their things that they're struggling with. And like a lot of them, like I tell them a lot of times, go to the school counselor. Because like those resources are there for us. You know what I mean? And like, it just, yeah, it makes me.
Well, I understand really why you tear up and get emotional, because it is very sad to think that any 17-year-old child, 16-year-old, you know, person is kind of alone in the world navigating problems that they're not mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or physically equipped to navigate.
Yeah.
And makes you really appreciate having a Christian home when it works like this.
Right. But the problem is too, there's a lot of Christian homes that aren't safe.
Yeah. I know.
You know, and it's time for like Christian parents to kind of like take stock of their own junk and like, because what we're talking about, if you're not safe, it's because you have fear.
Right.
That's where this comes from. It comes from I don't trust God enough to handle my kids. Yes. Do you know what I mean? And so I need to control. I need to be the God over my children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's
and
they pick up on it and they sense it and it's icky and it's gross and it's, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
And it's like the Lord says, I don't give you a spirit of fear.
Right.
Right? It's, if you're bringing fear into it, you're not walking in the spirit anymore.
It's the opposite of faith.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes me think about, you know, when you're talking about Christian homes, even non-Christian homes, you know, when you're a leader, you know, you are well known in Christendom. Mm. You know what I mean? We've all seen your films. We all, you know, we read Charisma Magazine. We've seen your articles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it difficult to be in a position of leadership while you're just trying to be a human being and raise your kids and have your relationship with God and do that? Is it difficult? Is it difficult for you, Darren? Is it difficult for you, Serenity?
I think it's really cool. I mean, I don't know. Like,
so it doesn't put any extra pressure on you to feel like I have to be perfect?
Well, no, and I feel like for the most part, like we're more private.
We're super chill. We're super private. I'm such a private person anyway that it's just like,
right.
I don't feel famous. I don't feel any, you know what I mean? Like I'm only reminded that people know who I am when I go somewhere to speak or I'm recognized somewhere. But other than that, I'm just dad and I'm just you know, I'm a hobbit. I'm in my hobbit hole and everybody just leave me alone. Right? And so it's not like I think we've created a very normalized kind of
for sure.
Which is awesome. Which is something that I learned from Christian, my son, very early on. Because I was working on TV, you know, and I was around so many people who were famous, and I through seasons of his life was very well known. And I always knew one thing. I kept everything about him and I and our home private because I wanted him to have normal, because I realized that all kids just want to be normal.
Right.
Any parent who thinks that their kid wants the coolness of their different life is being very, very vain.
Right.
And not real.
Right.
Kids want normal.
Yeah.
They really do. I mean, Christina, what about your experience with this kind of thing?
Well, I'm not famous. So I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I would say,
You are, girl.
But
you are now.
No, but as being a leader in a ministry and being surrounded by that, I've really enjoyed it. I think because I grew up in a family where ministry was valued before everything else. I was like, I cannot have that in my family.
Right.
So me and my husband have made it just, it's a value that we hold, that family is first. So I've actually enjoyed it. I haven't felt much pressure because we're very open. We're very direct. Like, if I messed up, this is it. I messed up, you know. But I've enjoyed it.
So ministry. Well, it sounds like you've enjoyed it because you know that your first ministry is to your family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't you think that gets problem. Out of whack?
So that's a lot of times that's the problem, right? That's right. Where everything goes off the rails when it's like the ministry becomes more important than your family, mm-hmm. more important than your kids, more important, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the one, the Lord is, you know, he took me to school on that early on.
Yeah, because let's face it, Darren, how many people do we know in leadership, in ministry, whose kids are way off the rails
mm-hmm.
and there mm-hmm. is no safe space for them to go talk to their parents right. about it?
Right. Because it'll ruin everything or whatever.
Right.
I mean, I had to grow in this. When I was first filming, when I was making my first few movies, no way, my family cannot, nobody can go with me on these shoots because it's super stressful and it's this and that. And now I'm like, I'm in a place now where I'm like, I don't want to film a movie where at least one of my kids doesn't come with me. Mm-hmm. Like, she's going to be as much as she can my assistant on my next film than the God Man.
I hope so, because who am I going to hang out with?
But I mean, you know what I mean?
Come on, like, girls.
Now that he's changed the rules and girls and family can go on his shoots. mean...
But that was, again, that was pre my encounter with Jesus, like kind of teaching me, like, look, you got to look at all this differently.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and I was just kind of, yeah, I just viewed, it's, I viewed them as very separate things, like family's is over here, work stuff is over here.
Yeah.
And then it's just, he's just kind of like, he's like, no, it's all one.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
bring them into it.
Yeah.
It's lifestyle. Yeah. I mean, we say lifestyle Christianity, but these are the areas where we really get to show what it looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm really proud of the fact that Roger and Christian and I, it's like, we started in ministry kind of at the same time, and since it was a part of his university, mm-hmm. and it all kind of happened organically there, and you all know because you came and visited and you were a part of it, but it was like we were sort of that family,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
that family there, and I love that people think of us in terms that are united and connected and where our faith is just something that we just are, you
yeah.
know? You don't need a church to be a church without
yeah.
walls.
Yeah.
And I, you know, for me, I knew something was, I knew I was off, not off the rails, but I was definitely off center when I was about getting ready to go on another trip to film. And I was putting my youngest River to bed. And I think he was maybe 6 at the time. And I'm like, you know, daddy's going away. He's like, I don't want you to go, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but like Jesus, like we're going to show the world who Jesus is. And I remember just the innocent little child, you know, says, I hate that Jesus takes you away from me.
Exactly.
And that's when I'm like,
Yeah.
This is, I should probably start to rethink some of this stuff.
Reality check.
And yeah, because you realize, like, am I doing ministry? Am I doing, like, trying to give something to the world, but I'm, like, leaving my family behind to just kind of, like, flail in the wind?
Yeah.
And actually creating an animosity against God because of for my youngest boy, you know what I mean? And that's when I was, oh gosh, I gotta rethink some of this stuff.
That's such a good word for a lot of people, even if you're not in Christian ministry per se. I think a lot of parents, they embrace a faith and they become so like, I have to go to church, I have to do mm-hmm. this, they almost become dogmatic in a way that does exclude their children.
Yeah.
But then it sort of fuels their prayers and their angst in church. Lord, please save my child. Lord, please save
right.
my child. Well, it's like, well, if we could find more inclusive things, you know, more ways to include our kids in the living of our faith in a way that's positive.
Yeah. And I think it goes beyond ministry. I think we're talking any, like, and I especially would talk to dads here, you know, like, you know, they think like I'm being a good father by providing for my family. Well, what are you providing? Are you just a bank?
Wow.
Right. If you're just a bank, then like, okay.
Right.
Well, like, that's not really providing. That's not providing everything.
No, it's not.
Like, are you actually present? Are you, like, when you're home, are you home? Are you, you know, and to me, that's where we as men, we screw up this one a lot, you know, because we're so, like, doing and career and this and that. And I've fallen into it many times where it's just like, I'm changing the world.
Right.
Right? And it's like, and my kids are like, I just want to hang out with you.
Right.
Yeah. Like, Serena's just like, can we just go on a daddy-daughter date, please? Right. So I can actually see you.
Could you not change the world for an hour?
Yeah, they're
take
like,
a break?
While you're off changing the world, they're like, what about our world?
Right.
Right? Like.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And a big thing, like, especially I know a lot of my friends, like, they hate going to church because their parents just forced them to. And that's the other thing that we talked about, I think it was last episode, was communication and explaining why we're doing certain things. Like, if you just force your child to do these things based off of your beliefs and, like, what you understand, if they don't understand it, they're going to come up with their own reason, and it might not be the right reason.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And it can...
Yeah, like, it can morph into, like, it's just religion, and religion stinks. You know what I mean?
Create that animosity that could be so avoided just through communication and explaining why it's important.
And I think you are so right, Seren. I also think we have to be open to their searching or their journey.
Yes.
Because I remember... I mean, I was that parent when Christian was like 14 and a half, 15 years old, and I would drag him to church by the ear to my church that I chose, that I loved,
yeah,
where
right.
I was getting fed, you know? And then I would drag Roger also. It was really cute. You know, I was going to this a Black Kojic church, West Angeles Church of God in Christ. Love Bishop Blake. He is a spiritual father and hero of mine. But, you know, Roger was like the little drop of milk in the coffee. And my son, who's like bright and almost white, like my mom, was the other little drop of milk in the coffee. And he, I mean, Christian hated it. He would just, you know, he's 14 or 15, and here I am. Are you listening to this message?
Yeah.
This is so for you. This is so for you.
Yeah.
Playing his Holy Spirit, you know, like... It was horrible. I was everything that if you are this way and you're even laughing and have a tinge of guilt, you need to not be. I mean, literally, it was awful. And then after church, when we would leave, I was just, so what'd you get from the message? So what's your takeaway? And he's just like in the backseat of the car, like, my takeaway is I want to kill you. I want to kill you, and I never want to come here again. And we have to drive an hour and a half because I had to go to my church near my mom's house,
yeah.
and we lived in a different suburb.
Yeah.
It was like a whole thing. And I remember one day getting in the car, and then, of course, I'd always be crying the last half of the journey home from church because he's not saved. He hates the Lord. He's never going to come around. And I have a 15-year-old monster on my hands. And Roger would be refereeing the whole thing like, oh, my God. And he looked at me. Roger looked at me one day when Christian stormed out of the car. And he goes, stop it. And I was like, what? Now, that's a big one because, you know, it's not easy for someone to tell me.
You.
To stop something
yeah.
concerning my child. I become Black Mama Bear. You know what I mean? Like, no, that's my baby. I pushed him into the world for 14 hours. Nobody gets to interfere.
Yeah.
This is an unsafe space now. Right? So I looked at him. I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, Cynthia, you're playing his Holy Spirit. You're forcing mm-hmm. him and pushing him. He goes, why yeah. don't you just trust God? Pray. He's going to make a way for Christian.
Yes.
And I remember I looked at him, and it was blasphemous in a way, because I said, and I've told this story here before, I said, you have no idea what you're talking about. For God to get that boy saved, he's going to have to send a Black NBA star point guard, you know, pastor who loves Jesus. That is just never going to happen. He
right.
won't listen to anybody.
Right.
Within 6 months, Christian comes to me one day, and this is where you have to be open. And my son says, and it's Saturday evening, Mom, Jordan and my friends are going to a different church. It's closer. Can we please go to a different church? And I look at him and I'm thinking, okay, he's asking me to go to church. It's a different church. It could be the church of Satan, but he's asking me to go to church. So maybe I need to be open because, for God's sake, if it's a church, maybe I can work with it. You know, like all these things are going on in my brain because your 15-year-old is asking you to go to church
yeah.
and that's all I wanted, but I don't know where this church is. So Jordan, his friend who was spending the night, kind of looks and he goes, it's a Christian church. Reading my mind. So I'm like, okay, it's a Christian church. I don't know what it is, but we're going to go. We get up the next morning, we go to church, and it's this little teeny tiny church. There are probably 20 people there. We would probably go on to, I mean, we would go on to be, you know, beside the pastors and Roger and I, we were sort of like, you know, the fuel for the church.
Right.
And at the end of that service, though, I look up and my son is walking to the altar to make an altar call and give his life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And my husband leans over and he says to me, do you know who he is? I said, no. He says, he's Mark Jackson, former NBA point guard, there Hall of Famer, who loves Jesus. Mm. He's apparently started a church.
Yeah. Well, for me, I mean, I went to church every week for 30 years of my life and checked out for 30 years.
Yeah.
I always checked out. I mean, I was always a believer, but I would check out. I would just sit there and daydream because just, I'm like, I was bored and I judged everything.
Yeah.
And you know, but that's the thing. Like, how much do you trust? Again, I just keep coming back to how much do you trust the Lord with your kids? You know, my parents never pressured me. Never were like, you got to get it together, right?
Right.
They just, you know, they just prayed and were quiet, and they loved me, and they just like, they just, you know, they're like, the Lord's going to give it because the Lord has, he's made a promise.
Yeah.
And you know, and sure enough, Lord gets a hold of me, and away we go.
And away you
but
go.
But, you know, it took 30 years.
Yeah. It's really interesting, though, too. And I don't know if you ever stop and think about this, Soren, but your dad's work, his body of work, has impacted families around the world. My family, my family included, you know. Leon and Zanya's family, you know, the former channel director here. Like, so many of our friends. You're the nucleus, you know. Do you ever... when you're going through stuff, because you're very aware. You're a very aware young girl. You're aware of your stuff, even. You're a lot like I am. I'm very aware of my stuff when I'm in it. You know, it's like, okay, I'm in my stuff. I don't care. You know, or I need to go check myself before I wreck myself.
Yeah. So, that's a good one.
Yeah. Always check yourself before you wreck yourself. But, like, are you aware that sometimes it just may be the attack of the enemy on you and your family relationship because so many other people have been so positively impacted?
Honestly, every now and then I need a reminder. You know what I mean? And, like, hearing it from you, hearing it from him, hearing it from my friends who love his stuff and are, like, a fangirl every time they come over.
Yeah.
But I do need that reminder. You know what I mean? It's hard. It's, you forget, you know what I mean? Like, what really matters, especially in high school.
Yeah.
Everything is, it's a different world in high school, you know what I mean? And priorities and...
That's a really good place because we're out of time. That's a really good place to end because we're going to come back next week and we're going to talk about, especially in high school, the young people today. And that's going to be a good one. Christina, you want to take us home?
Yes.
All right. Thanks for watching, you guys. We'll see you next week.
And Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and now I know that I I will worship you until